The Vault of Jovombus. Preface. As an intern in the terrestrial hospital at Ignar, I had charge of the singular case of Rodney Seven, the one surviving member of the Octave expedition to Jovombus, and took down the following story from his dictation. Seven had been brought to the hospital by the Martian guides of the expedition. He was suffering from a horribly lacerated and inflamed condition of the scalp and brow, and was wildly delirious part of the time, and had to be held down in his bed during recurrent seizures of a mania whose violence was doubly inexplicable in view of his extreme debility. The lacerations, as will be learned from the story, were mainly self-inflicted. They were mingled with numerous small round wounds, easily distinguished from the knife slashes, and arranged in regular circles, through which an unknown poison had been injected into Severn's scalp. The causation of these wounds was difficult to explain, unless one were to believe that Severn's story was true and was no mere figment of his illness. Speaking for myself, in the light of what afterwards occurred, I feel that I have no other recourse than to believe it. There are strange things on the Red Planet, and I can only second the wish that was expressed by the doomed archaeologist in regard to future explorations. The night after he finished telling me his story, while another doctor than myself was supposedly on duty, Seven managed to escape from the hospital, doubtless in one of the strange seizures at which I have hinted, a most astonishing thing, for he had seemed weaker than ever after the long strain of his terrible narrative, and his demise had been hourly expected. More astonishing still, his bare footsteps were found in the desert, going toward Jovombus, till they vanished in the path of a light sandstorm, but no trace of Seven himself has yet been discovered. The Narrative of Rodney Seven. If the doctors are correct in their prognostication, I have only a few Martian hours of life remaining to me. In those hours, I shall endeavour to relate, as a warning to others who might follow in our footsteps, the singular and frightful happenings that terminated our researches among the ruins of Jovombus. Somehow, even in my extremity, I shall contrive to tell the story, since there is no one else to do it. But the telling will be toilsome and broken, and after I am done, the madness will recur, and several men will restrain me, lest I should leave the hospital and return across many desert leagues to those abominable vaults beneath the compulsion of the malignant and malevolent virus which is permeating my brain. Perhaps death will release me from that abhorrent control, which would urge me down to bottomless underworld warrens of terror for which the saner planets of the solar system can have no analogue. I say perhaps, for, remembering what I have seen, I am not sure that even death will end my bondage. There were eight of us, professional archaeologists with more or less terrene and interplanetary experience, who set forth with native guides from Ignar, the commercial metropolis of Mars, to inspect that ancient, eon-deserted city. Alan Octave, our official leader, held his primacy by virtue of knowing more about Martian archaeology than any other terrestrial on the planet, and others of the party, such as William Harper and Jonas Halgren, had been associated with him in many of his previous researches. I, Rodney Seven, was more of a newcomer, having spent but a few months on Mars, and the greater part of my own ultra-terrene delvings had been confined to Venus. I had often heard of Jovombus in a vague and legendary sort of manner, and never at first hand. Even the ubiquitous Octave had never seen it. Builded by an extinct people whose history has been lost in the latter decadent eras of the planet, it remains a dim and fascinating riddle whose solution has never been approached, and which, I trust, may endure forevermore unsolved by man. Certainly, I hope that no one will ever follow in our steps. Contrary to the impression we had received from Martian stories, we found that the semi-fabulous ruins lay at no great distance from Ignar, with its terrestrial colony and consulates. The nude, spongy-chested natives had spoken deterringly of vast deserts